Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, a very well-known verse. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." We could be Christians that have a real sense of God's forgiveness in our lives, that we're leading lives that are clean before God, yet there's a sparkle missing in our Christian life. There's something missing, and that missing thing is, one of the possibilities, is joy. I've been meditating on what is joy. How does joy affect our life? You know, I could be a Christian for many years. I know the sense of being forgiven, and yet I can lose that sparkle of joy in my life. And you see, Paul in this letter to the Philippians, and I know the fellows are studying this when they come up here on Wednesday, but it's a thought that's been with me now for some time, and I've been thinking, this is something God's speaking to me, and I want to share this with you. Where is the joy in your Christian life? Where is the joy in my Christian life? For isn't it something when we see a Christian who is rejoicing in the Lord? It's contagious. It really speaks to us, and we want to be joyful Christians as well. And Paul says here, rejoice in the Lord. If we're born again here tonight, we've been born again, we have all the reasons in the world to rejoice in the Lord. He is the object of our joy. He's the object. When I think of anything during the day, anything happens to me, and as we go through life, if I really sense the Lord working in my life, working in the life of others, I can rejoice in the Lord because God is sovereign over my life. God is a God of providence who is guiding the direction. You know, we're not just living by circumstances down here. God is directing. I was talking to Connie Clark, who's a missionary in Spain. I was talking to her today. She's doing some work with the Emmaus courses with gals there in Spain. And I was talking to her, and she says, yes, I'm going to put my house up for the market, but I'm not sure where I'm going to be guided. I don't know where the Lord's taking me, but I'm going to put my house on the market. And as you know, we were talking a little bit. She was sharing different things with me. It was interesting. She said, I'm not sure what tomorrow holds, but I understand that God is guiding. And when the Lord brought her husband and her to a small town of 150 people, they're triple the size of our town of 25 or 50. But they went to a town where there was no believers. But in that town, she said, you know, I think now that that's where God wanted us to go, but that's the place God wanted us to go because he was going to take my husband. She's a widow now. Her husband died 3.5 years ago. And in that time, she's had 3.5 years where God has been guiding her. She says, I can rejoice to know that this is where God has put me, and this is where God is also taking me out now. God maneuvers and takes us from different places. Now, I'd like us to look in the book of Philippians, different things that Paul rejoices for. Look at chapter 1, verse 18. Chapter 1, verse 18. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in that I do rejoice, yea, I will rejoice. There were people who were preaching Christ to get Paul in trouble. Can you imagine? There's people saying, well, you know, Paul's over in trouble, but we're going to preach some more so that he gets in worse trouble. They had a bad attitude for preaching the gospel. But Paul says, I'm not worried about that. What I rejoice in the fact is that Christ is being preached. Do we rejoice when we see others preaching Christ? I hope so. I hope, you know, when I hear somebody, you know, in one environment or another preaching Christ, this last week we had an opportunity to be downtown Raleigh. We got lost in there. We were trying to find a building, and on the way out, it was raining. But we went down to the Department of Non-Public Education. And we were speaking to a fellow down there. He was very cautious up front to let us know he was a Christian. But then he gave us the whole history of how the homeschool movement started in the state of North Carolina. And it's wonderful how God has moved to place critical people, Christians, in the way so that the laws could be written so we would have the freedom in the state to homeschool. I thought that was fascinating. I was rejoicing with this fellow, with this man, on how he was explaining this. And, you know, he's got an opportunity in his position to present Christ very different than I was. He just says, yeah, he says, well, what background are you from? I says, well, you know, he asked me, what mission board are you with? I says, we're not out with a mission board, we're out with a local church. He says, what church are you out with? Well, I says, Northgate Chapel. Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, we used to live in Burlington, and we every once in a while we'd go down to the Ireland Street Chapel there. Yeah, we were neighbors of Larry Batts. I said, it's a small world. It's a small world. It's a small world. Paul rejoiced in others preaching Christ. Do we rejoice when others preach Christ? Look at verse 25. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your full furtherance and joy of the faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. An interesting characteristic here of joy. Joy can be more abundant. Our joy has levels of fullness. When we rejoice, our rejoicing can be fuller or it can be diminished. Paul is saying that I would rejoice more abundantly, more abundance in the Lord Jesus. So I ask a question, where is your rejoicing? Are you running on quarter tank, half tank, three-quarter tank, or is your tank full? How is your rejoicing? I know in my Christian life, there's many times, you don't see me usually in this mood, but I can walk around with a long face and I'm tired and I'm dragging and I'm not rejoicing. Yeah, this message is for me. I'm speaking to me today, tonight. Rejoicing. How full is the tank on which I'm running on? And I think it's really important that we stop and consider this, because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. But think of that. Joy, second on the list. Love is super important in the Christian life. But I would say joy is of utmost importance. It gives us that sparkle in the life that we live. In the life that we live. Now look at chapter 2, verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Here he's saying, he's rejoicing in that they would be like-minded, that they would have the same type of love. Do you rejoice with people who are like-minded? I hope so. I enjoy being with people like-minded. People who say, the authority that I have in my life is the Word of God. That is my book for faith and practice. That's a wonderful thing to be able to discuss with Christians, the Word of God, and say, okay, leave all the books aside, leave all the traditions aside, let's look and see what God has to say. And when we go to the Scriptures, we can rejoice with people who are like-minded. I understand a lot of people aren't like-minded. They go off on different tangents, and they don't want to settle in on the Word of God. I know that brings sadness to God's heart, because this God spent all the trouble to keep this book so that down through the years, we would have God's written word for us. So when you stop and think, do you rejoice with people who you are like-minded? When people share with you? We were at Emmaus here a couple of weeks ago now, and it just so happened one Sunday, a couple of people showed up. They had an Emmaus weekend there. We were at the chapel there, but some people showed up for Emmaus weekend and they came to the fellowship of the chapel. There was one fellow I hadn't seen in 20 years. And then there was another fellow who was at the Myrtle Beach conference last year. And he said, when you want to stop by through Kentucky, please give us a call. Well, I said, you know, we don't have a place to stay yet. We were thinking of going in a hotel. He says, oh, come to our house. And we were able to discuss a couple hours, and we rejoiced in the fact of so many things that we had in common. There was a like-mindedness there. And we rejoiced to be able to have that type of mindset together. Now look at verse 17 of chapter 2. Yea, and if I will be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. Joy in service. Paul rejoiced here that he could offer himself, that he could expend himself for others. It's kind of hard sometimes to rejoice when you're expending energy, isn't it? Because oftentimes we are so task-oriented in the United States that what's important isn't the person who I have next to me that I'm having fellowship with, but rather that I finish the task. And oftentimes we forget that if we're with other believers and we're serving them, that we can have great joy. I think we're going to have a blast this weekend up in Mountaintop. I think we're going to have a wonderful time. And I know that, and as I've talked to some of you who have put, you know, this building together, rejoice with other Christians as you work together. There's rejoicing in service, because, you know, service is not only laying bricks and floors and preaching, it's also being together, serving one another, giving a good ear. I find when I have to listen a lot, I am wiped out at the end of the day. And that's a service that we render one to another. Now, verse 28 of chapter 2. I sent him, therefore, the more eagerly, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. There's somebody who was sick, and now he was better again. So Paul is rejoicing in this individual's wellness. We rejoice in someone's wellness. We rejoice when somebody gets out of the hospital, but we can also rejoice in the fact when someone's caring for someone who is sick and not well. Do we rejoice when people are doing well? Do you rejoice in the fact that you're doing well? The very fact that we're here tonight, there's a certain measure of wellness, isn't there, to be able to come out and enjoy the things that God has for us. Now look at chapter 3 and verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me, indeed, is not irksome, but for you it is safe. In verse 3. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Paul is talking about the circumcision here and how they were coming in, they were infiltrating, they were causing problems. But what does he rejoice in? He rejoices in the true circumcision. He rejoices in those who worship God in the Spirit. I believe he's saying, I rejoice in the truth. I rejoice with those who are practicers, those who put to practice the truth. For you know, to worship is really the high ideal of the Christian, isn't it? Now, there's other passages where we hear someone rejoicing in the truth. 2 John tells us, and 3 John tells us. John says, I rejoice in that my children walk in the truth. I rejoice. I think it's phenomenal to see young people, and I'm still sort of young, but younger than I, walking in the truth. And you see them developing over time. You say, that is wonderful. And when you see them carrying on for years, the fellows that we're working with in Spain, and they've been going on for 10, 15 years, and now we pull out, we're here in the States, and I call Spain, and I say, how are things going? Well, we got the jail ministry covered, we got the Emmaus courses covered, you know, we're going out and doing the calendar distributions, and I'm thinking, praise the Lord, these fellows are continuing, and they know the truth, and I can rejoice with them that they're walking in that truth. And though they would want us to be there, and though we would want to be there, they're continuing in the truth that they have been taught through the Scriptures. Look at chapter 4 now. Let's go back to chapter 4, verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me hath flourished again, of which ye were also mindful, but ye lacked opportunity. Rejoice in others' exercise of gift. The Philippians were known for their giving, their generosity. And Paul says, I rejoice that you have again given to me. Rejoice in the exercise of gift. In this particular gift here, it's giving. It's generosity. But do you rejoice in the use of others' gifts? You know, one of the problems that happens in the Scriptures over and over again, and the Lord tells us to be careful with this. When others exercise gift, and, you know, they get a pat on the back, well, that was really good what you did here, and that was great. There's a real danger in the Christian life. It happens in the home, it happens in society, it happens in school, and it happens in the church. You know what that is? Jealousy. There's jealousies. When we see other people using their gift, when we don't rejoice, and now God is blessing through the gift of others, it's easy to become jealous and say, he didn't do it so great. Oh, that wasn't so good. And before you know it, instead of having a joyful spirit, we have a jealous spirit. And there's nothing that wrecks the joy of the spirit in one's life than jealousy. And you see, Paul here rejoices in that these Christians are going forward and they're giving to him. Now look at verse 11. He now adds a couple of words here. And I'm going to bring it together here. It says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am in this to be content." And I think what Paul is saying here is, listen, I've learned to have a lot, I've learned to have a little, but I've learned to be content. Isn't that what joy is? Isn't that what rejoicing is? I looked up what Bill McDonald had to say about this, and he says, "Rejoicing in the Lord is having contentment and satisfaction in the things God has placed us in and who He has placed us with." Interesting. And here Paul uses this word contentment. Satisfaction. Are you content with the job God has given you? Are you content with the spouse God has given you? Are you content with the fellowship here at Northgate that God has given to you? You know, it's always very easy to say, my wife or my husband, the Christians, the job, the school. And before you know it, discontent wrecks our joy for the Lord. It wrecks it. And then we confess it, but you know there's that dullness there because we're having a discontented spirit. Let's continue reading now, verse 12. "I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Paul is instructed. When we talk of joy, we're not talking about an emotion. You know, emotions come, emotions go. I don't know about you. They've done enough studies now that, you know, as the temperature changes, as the high pressures and the low pressures come, we can feel up or down. We can. Our temperatures affect us. The weather affects us. This heat in the summer, I'm not used to the humidity here anymore. This summer was hard on me. I mean, I was dragging. But does that mean then I can throw my joy out the window? Oh, no. Paul says here, I've been instructed in contentment, in joy, in living for the Lord. It's a question of, just like love isn't just this little fuzzy feeling. Love is, I love because I'm committed to love. I am responsible to love. I want to love. Well, when I rejoice, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I don't have an option. I'm given a command of God to rejoice. That means I have the power in the Spirit to do that rejoicing. Now look at the next verse that we all have memorized. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am strengthened in Christ so that I can rejoice and lead the Christian life. When I was thinking about these passages, I remember, years ago, if you recall, I did a series here on Nehemiah. I don't know if some of you recall that. There was a verse that really touched my heart when I studied Nehemiah. And let's go to it, chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. It's also a verse that we should have memorized. If we don't, I encourage you to memorize it. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. "Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither ye be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The joy of the Lord is our strength. I often think as Christians, where is the power in our Christian life? Where is the power in my Christian life? And I find that oftentimes when I'm not rejoicing in what God has allotted to me, I lose the strength to live the Christian life the way God wants me to live it. So when we rejoice in the Lord, we have strength to do the job, to fellowship with other Christians. You know, that's not an easy task, is it? We're all so different. Well, if we rejoice and are thankful, there's gladness in our hearts. It's not just bearable. It's enjoyable. It is enjoyable, you know, to get along with another. It's enjoyable to go to work. It's enjoyable to raise kids. It's enjoyable for kids to have parents, you know, because it's difficult. It's difficult to live with me as a parent. It is. Talk to my kids. It's hard. Talk to my wife. It's hard to live with me as a husband. But if they rejoice in the Lord, it'll be easy. See, I have to live with the wife, and I have to live with the kids, too. And if I'm not rejoicing in the Lord, I look at life tediously. God doesn't want me to go through life, a burden. He wants me to go through life rejoicing in Him and all the things that He has put around me that I might be content. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, again, we thank You for the many scriptures that speak about joy. And we do pray, Lord, that we would be rejoicing Christians, Christians who are content and satisfied in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, continue to work in our lives Your joy, for we ask in Your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.